Stay tuned. My Dad in Generations is next.
Warning. This program contains content that may not be suitable to some listeners. It contains decency, truth, ageless wisdom, a father who cares. It's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Welcome to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director of Christian Home Educators of Colorado. I'm a pastor, but the reason I'm here today, I'm a father of five. And a couple of issues in the news today. A public school is teaching kids to become Muslim. Apparently, this happened in California, where parents are challenging a school district for teach to become Muslims. Judge panel of the Ninth Circuit. Oh, no, not the Ninth Circuit again. Well, they ruled that the parents didn't have a challenge here. And the Byron Union School District did not violate the U.S. Constitution. Now, they are appealing this, and apparently they're pressing for another ruling. The Thomas More Law Center is fighting this thing, says that for 3 weeks, impressionable 12-year-old students were, among other things, placed into groups, took Islamic names, instructed them to remember Allah, may prosper, memorized and recited the Bismillah, so forth. In other news, parents are challenging every public school district in America for their practice of teaching 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17-year-old students to, quote, become secular humanists. Lawyers for the case say that, quote, impressionable students were indoctrinated for 12 years. Among other things, they were placed in humanist learning centers where they learned a socialist humanist worldview and ethics. If you pull your children out of the public school, are you going to turn them to isolationists? Now, this question's been asked by a lot of people. Are our children going to be totally irrelevant to the world? I thought we were supposed to be in the world, but not of it. We're going to speak with Bill Jack on this issue. Our friend Bill Jack, on air next on Generations. Stay with us, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. The program is Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. Welcome. Good to have you tune in with us today. Today the question is it possible for Christians to become so separate from the world they become irrelevant to the world around us? And online with us today is our friend Bill Jack from Worldview Academy. Bill, welcome again to Generations.
Good to be here. Thanks, Kevin.
It's great to have you with us, Bill. Let's talk about what you've been doing for all these years. You've been involved in worldview, apologetics, evangelism, creationism. What is your ministry, Bill? I'm trying to get a handle on that.
Well, when I get a handle on it, I'll let you know.
Okay.
Actually, it's called Worldview Academy, and it's a Christian leadership training program. We train students mainly in camps throughout the summer, but we also have some fall camps. We also do weekends at churches for families. And the camps train students, train Christians, to think and live in accord with a biblical worldview. That's our mission. That's our goal. Is to train Christians to not only just to think well, to think hard, but to think and then act, to live according to what God's Word says. And again, we concentrate on three areas at camps. It's worldviews. Your worldview is your set of glasses through which you filter everything else. It's your framework for understanding existence. So we train them in worldviews to show them how a biblical worldview is not just another option, but it is so radically different from every other worldview out there that it's the distance between here and the Grand Canyon. So there's an ocean of difference between every other worldview on the board and biblical Christianity. We train them in that. We train them in apologetics, and that doesn't mean walking around saying, pardon me, excuse me, I'm a Christian, I'm sorry. It means that we are training them to give a defense of their faith, to be able to not only answer questions when asked, but also to show that biblical Christianity applies in every aspect of culture. We also train them in leadership skills. So along with apologetics is the evangelism aspect. And during camp, we take students out and we take them to a college campus, usually, sometimes a downtown area, wherever we are. We do camps across the country. We have about 14 to 16 camps, throughout the year in all regions of the country. And we will take them out on a Wednesday afternoon to a college campus and have them share their faith. Now, what's amazing about this, Kevin, is that over the years, when we first started out, we marketed heavily to homeschool families. And so about 70% of our students were from homeschool families. And we thought as we grew that that demographic would change, but it hasn't very much at all. In fact, maybe the first year we had maybe 400 students total. Last year we had 2,300 students come through our program, and it was still at 70% being homeschool. Probably another 20% were private school students, Christian school students, and then another 10% were from public school. But the vast majority of our students come from homeschool families, and it's because homeschool families understand the need for worldview training, and they want their students, once they reach the age of 13, to have an opportunity with other like-minded students to dig deeper into worldview training.
Bill, do you find there be any reticence among Christians, especially homeschoolers, to get their faith out on the streets? Sometimes it seems like Christians want to ghettoize. They want to pull in. But what about these homeschoolers?
You know, that's really interesting, because that's one reason I brought that up, is because when we take students out, we find that many of them have never been out sharing their faith in that kind of setting before. So they go out, they're scared spitless. They come back and they are jazzed. They are wired. They've seen the power of the gospel transform lives. They come up to us and they say, "Wow, we met an atheist. He said exactly what you said he'd say. We met a Buddhist. He said exactly what you said he would say." And it's not magic. It's just that during the course of the years, we've been around long enough, the guys at Worldview Academy, that we know what the opposition's arguments are, what their objections to biblical Christianity are, and how they're going to respond. So it's an opportunity for students who are, in one sense, cloistered, okay, because homeschooling tends to cloister students and families sometimes. It gives them an opportunity to bump up against, to rub elbows with people that they would never rub up against as a high school student, as a homeschool high school student. Once they hit college, they are certainly going to be thrust into a culture that is hostile. And so this offers them it's a field trip in a sense. It offers them the opportunity to practice what they know to be true from their homeschool education, what their parents have instilled into them, what we train them at Worldview Academy, and then also to see that when they go out, they can't just give pat answers. They have to engage the culture. They have to, as somebody says, we either engage the culture or the culture will engage us. And so we always take them out during the week at camp to engage people in conversation and sharing their faith and discussing worldview. So it's not a sit in the classroom, pop their heads open, pour information in. We train them in worldviews. We take them out, have them and talk to people. We train them in evangelism. They go out and share their faith. They're in class, probably 30 hours out of the week. So it is an intense training program. It's not a fun junkie camp. It's an academic camp. But again, it's not merely sit them in the classroom. We take them out after we've trained them. We have them do it. We come back and we debrief.
And that's what I like about Worldview Academy. We hype it on this program quite a bit. Bill, when you take them out, when you apply what they've learned, I think some exciting things happen at that point. I want to read something that I've read from Francis Schaeffer just recently. I'd like your comment on it. Schaeffer said, "We need a radical message for today's relativistic thinking." By radical, he means a root-level antithesis opposing worldview that is sharp. Now, it seems to me the church has been either escaping or accommodating. Why can't we engage?
Well, you know, it's interesting that Schaeffer wrote that back in the 70s. Right.
Yeah.
And he's been long gone. He is not with us anymore, but he was prophetic in the sense that he read the culture properly. He clearly saw between the culture and what biblical Christianity is. And his words still ring true today because we have a culture that is very relativistic. And what's sad is we see that also within the church, as you pointed out. And so that's why we're so excited about the students who come through Worldview Academy, because they are there. Most of them are there because they want to be there. They want to grow in their faith. Occasionally we'll get a student who's there because mom and dad forced him to come, but that is the rare thing. And even at the end of the week, they are engaged. We see that students, they want to have answers to real questions. If we do not challenge them with the truth and call for commitment, there are many false worldviews out there that will do so. They will call for commitment, and they will give. Students are idealistic. They want to commit their lives to something that has purpose and meaning. And the only true thing, of course, is biblical Christianity. But unfortunately, the church, in many, many instances, has been co-opted by the culture. In order to survive, we just get along. We are able to be friendly with the church. And you know, a friend of mine said this recently, and I've really thought about it. And that is that the culture really likes to have churches, because they like to have churches around so that people can go there and feel like they're doing something. It's our little ghettos. But they don't want us to bring it out into the culture.
Why is that?
Well, because truth divides.
Yeah.
And it's not pleasant. Jesus wasn't a very nice guy. He
yeah.
wasn't pleasant, and he wasn't just a nice person to be around. He called for commitment, and he called people to truth. Now, he did it in a loving way. He was perfect.
And he said some sort of ugly things like, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. I came to divide. That's painful. And yet, how can we as Christians cross that divide between the Christian worldview and the pagan worldviews around us and minister to these people on college campuses and on the streets?
You know, that's the tension, that we are in the world but not of the world. And I believe that that the goal of the Christian, the job of the Christian, is to engage people in conversation. For example, well, at the founding of our nation, we had a biblical worldview that was held by the vast majority of people. Doesn't mean the vast majority of people were Christians. It just meant that they were trained to think from a biblical worldview. And as a result, the culture was salted and lighted with biblical Christianity. The culture was blessed. Even non-Christians thought more Christian than most Christians do today.
Amen.
And, for example, Thomas Jefferson, who was labeled an infidel during his lifetime, wrote, you know, can the liberties of a nation be sure when we remove their only firm protection, their firm conviction, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are a gift of God? He wrote that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. In other words, he thought more Christian than most Christians do today, because, as a non-Christian, because his education was biblically centered. He spent his entire life trying to throw off a Christian mindset, okay?
Hmm.
I've spent my entire life as a Christian trying to throw off a secular mindset because of my education.
Hmm.
I've been trained to think secularly. It's the secularization of our culture that is the problem, and it's crept into the church. And so we have this false dichotomy that what we do at church on Sunday, that's spiritual, and what we do throughout the rest of the week, that's secular. In fact, you can do a little experiment with people when you're talking with them and ask, okay, what do you do during the week that's spiritual? And they'll say, well, Bible study, prayer, going to church. What do you do that's secular? Oh, you know, I watch TV, play sports, go to school, shopping. Anyway, it's, you know, they have a clear division between what is sacred and what is secular. And yet, from a biblical perspective, there is nothing that is secular. There's not this secular-sacred dichotomy that we are commanded to do everything as unto the Lord, that we're commanded to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our spiritual service of worship. So there's nothing that is secular for the Christian. Everything is sacred, from changing a baby's dirty diaper to building a fence, to singing a song in church. Everything we do is worship.
So, Bill, once you get the folks thinking biblically, once you get them thinking in terms of this sacredness of all of life and bringing God's word to bear in all of life, now they take this message to the world around them, and yet you said that a lot of these kids have a hard time doing that. Do you think the reticence is a lack of courage or a lack of love or a lack of knowledge?
Well, you know, Hosea wrote to a very zealous people that they perish for lack of knowledge. And sometimes that leads to fear. We deal with that issue at camp. We have a session on the biblical basis for true authority, and we deal with fear because that's one of the biggest problems when people go out is, what if I'm asked a question that I can't answer when I'm sharing my faith? What happens if somebody gets angry with me? Fear is a very powerful tool, and it's a very powerful tool by the enemy to neutralize. And so we do a whole session on fear versus faith, and what is a Christian to do when confronted by those in positions of authority who are hostile or object to Christians speaking out. I think that again, what has happened is the church has been walled off into a corner.
Yeah.
You're free to go worship on Sunday, but don't dare bring your faith to bear in the culture around you. We see this in recent political campaigns. We see this whenever elected officials stand up and take a stand on righteousness. You know, you have to keep your faith out of the culture. And so again, the culture loves to have churches because there are these beautiful edifices that people can point to, and you can go there and you can do your thing, but don't dare bring it back into the culture.
Bill, it seems to me that it's a little bit like the little guy who knows that the emperor has no clothes, and yet he's standing around with hundreds of thousands of people who have bought into the propaganda campaign that the emperor does have clothes. And yet he knows deep down, he knows, he is so sure of his worldview, he is so sure of the reality that the emperor has no clothes, and yet it's difficult to break the silence.
It is, and that's why I like working with students, because we believe that students really have the zeal. They need to be equipped.
Yeah.
They are not afraid as much as adults. I'd much rather work with students than adults because they're not intimidated by the culture. They will go out and engage the culture. So we teach them how to ask questions. We train them how to share their faith, how to engage the culture. And that's the beauty of it, is that they will go do it. So that's why we start with students, because most major, well, in fact, I'd say just about every major evangelistic revival may have been sparked by the preaching of elderly statesmen in the church, but it has been carried by the zeal of youth.
Bill, we only have a minute left, and I'd like a little vision here. Bill, you've got children, you've got a number of children yourself. What do you want them to become? How do you want them to engage the world around them as they grow up?
Every discipline needs to be permeated with the truth of the Word of God. And what we at Worldview Academy believe is that we need artists, we need plumbers, we need doctors, we need attorneys, we need accountants, we need moms and dads who think biblically. So it is not that we're training all these students to rise up to be preachers, because that's not what they're called to be. Every vocation is a calling to be excellent for Christ in that field. So I would encourage parents to consider Worldview Academy. They can check us out at worldview.org, or they can call the office if they want more information at 800-241-1123. That's 800-241-1123, and get on our eternal mailing list. We'll send you out brochures, let you know what the schedule is for upcoming camps. Check out the website, worldview.org. We go to where parents are that want to have worldview training for their students. So we have camps all over the country to make it convenient for parents to to access this training.
Bill, we praise God for your ministry, Worldview Academy. It is one of the very best worldview preparation courses that I know of. It reflects pretty much the worldview represented on this program day in and day out, and there is nothing better to train our children in for the next generation. It's worldview.org, folks. You've seen the ads in World Magazine, and they do a great job. Thanks again, Bill, for joining us on Generations.
Thank you, Kevin.
And folks, we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up this program. Stay tuned. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it. Let's take our faith to the streets. But first, let's get a good biblical worldview down straight and then prepare our children to engage the world. Let me encourage you to get all of the resources that Bill Jack has available on his website. That's worldviewacademy.org for those of you who missed it. Worldviewacademy.org. And be sure to sign up for our free news magazine. Comes out quarterly. And you can sign up at kevinswanson.com. Also, you can hear this program on the web in a new way. We've made it easier. Check it out at kevinswanson.com. You, your friends, your family members can pick up this program anytime, anywhere in the world, every day at kevinswanson.com. Again, you can interact with this program by emailing me, kevin@check.org. That's kevin@check.org. Give us some e-feed. Feed us with some email at kevin@check.org. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.